Chapter 26. I was pleased to see so many people at Greta's old house's luncheon. Miss Anne was there with notes in hand, ready to give her talk about Edna Lee's early settlers and their homes. Daisy Stanton, Cora Dee, Pat, Jackie, and all three of the women from the Carver farm were present. Myra, Vita, and Pearlie looked a bit ill at ease, but seemed friendly enough and happy to have been invited. We were seated informally around Greta's table. Most of the guests had finished eating when Greta asked Miss Anne to talk. I loved hearing about Edna Lee's early settlers and the first homes built in our area, many of them still occupied. Everyone had eaten their dessert by the time Miss Anne sat down. The Carver group had listened attentively. Vita even made a few comments. "Greta, I certainly like your house. Quite old and probably historic, isn't it?" Greta smiled. "Thank you. Yes, it is. My house and its history are what piqued my interest in starting the Old Houses Club." Vita nodded. "I like historic houses. Has your house been involved in anything dark and nefarious in the past?" Greta raised her eyebrows. "I'm not sure about that. Nothing that I know of." I stood and smiled at the group. I'd hint at a few things without giving anything away. This was my chance to let the women from the Carver farm know that I was no threat, but I felt it was also an opportunity to needle a conscience that might be feeling a bit of remorse. "As you know, Edna Lee is an old town, and old towns have some historic mysteries," I said. "Our town is no exception. Some of its history I learned from my family, some I gathered by reading, and some I learned by talking to people. You see, as well as a history, Edna Lee has a few secrets." This got everyone's attention. I spoke about the legend of buried gold, about bank robbers who were said to have hidden out in our area during the turbulent 1930s, and about a few unsolved murders. I've heard it said that walls have ears. I'd try to be subtle and maybe stir a little curiosity. Although I dared not say so, I wondered if, in particular, the Carver mansion had a pair of listening ears the night Miss Evangeline floored me with her assertion that someone was trying to kill her. "If they do, the walls of all the houses in our area must really be burning. If only they could talk as well as listen." "But," I continued, "sometimes folk with a guilty conscience have to confide in someone, and maybe it's my honest face." I paused here while a ripple of laughter ran through my audience. "But for some reason, people share their secrets with me. I've been told several things, but I'm pretty good about not repeating gossip. I'm sure a lot of what I've heard is just that, gossip, or somebody's guesswork. I pay no attention to it, and promptly forget it." There, that should have been clear enough to anyone who thought I was a threat that I didn't believe Miss Evangeline's story about someone trying to kill her. As I sat down, I glanced at Myra, Vita, and Pearlie. They looked thoughtful, and Myra's face was flushed. Did one of them harbor a guilty conscience or some dangerous information? "I was wondering, Ned, whether your home holds any secrets. I assume it's as old as this one?" asked Pearlie. "It is," I answered. "The house has been in my family for generations and was willed to me by my Uncle Javin. The townsfolk call it Granger Mansion, but in no way does it compare to the Carver Mansion. My house is much smaller. Yes, I believe it has held a secret or two, but as far as I know, they have all been put to rest." Pearlie smiled and pushed back her perfectly coiffed hair. "That's interesting. Some people are so intrigued by houses that have been lived in for generations that they enjoy searching through them to see what might lie buried beneath floorboards or hidden back in a cabinet." This conversation was beginning to get uncomfortable. Pearlie wore a calculating expression as she stared at me. Did she know I had been in her house the day of Lila's funeral? Had she glanced out of a window and seen me? I helped Greta clear the table. After stacking plates in the sink, I turned around and nearly bumped into Myra. She was blinking rapidly, and her face, which had appeared flushed earlier, was now a decided beet red. "Ned, I liked what you said about keeping secrets. I know a few, too, and I think it'd be safer if somebody else besides me knew them. You see, I'm sort of like the man who had a bear by the tail. I don't want to stay on at the Carver place with Miss Evangeline gone, but I'm afraid to leave." "Goodness, Myra, what are you afraid of? Can you tell me?" I asked, putting my hand on her arm. "Yes, no, I mean, I can tell you, but not here and not now. Do you think you could come to my house and talk to me? Maybe tomorrow night? I'll be at the mansion until after supper, but come any time after 7. And please don't let any of the Carvers know you're coming." "Sure," I said, trying not to show my excitement that my talk was having some results. "Just tell me where you live." She gave me directions, then turned to go back to the dining room. I stopped her. "Miss Evangeline, she said some pretty surprising things the time I came to her house, the night before she died. Do you think she might have been getting a bit senile?" Myra opened her mouth to answer, but at that moment, Pearlie walked into the kitchen with a load of coffee cups. "I can answer that," Pearlie said. "Yes, she was senile, sad to say. She imagined things, believed in ghosts and all that. I hope she didn't tell you any wild tales." "According to the coroner's report about Miss Evangeline's death, I'd say the story she told me about somebody wanting her dead had been quite truthful. Evidently, the sheriff hadn't chosen to share this information with the Carvers." I smiled. "Well, yes, she did tell me a few, but I didn't believe them. I'm sure she had an active imagination, but then most people do." Surely this would be enough to let them know I was no threat, and actually, I was being truthful. The part I didn't believe was the story about ghosts living in the mansion. "But not to the extent poor Evangeline had," Pearlie said. "Myra, are you ready to thank our hostess and leave? We have a lot to do back at the house." She turned toward me. "You know how it is after death. Papers to go through, things to put away." "I understand that," I said. "Do you and Albert and Vita plan to stay on at the house?" Pearlie smiled. "Oh, yes. That's just what Evangeline told us she wanted us to do, in the event we outlived her. We are her next of kin, you know." What did she mean? Were they going to file a claim in court? Is that how things were done when someone died without a will? At least, now I knew their intentions were to stick like leeches to the Carver farm. What did people say about possession being 9/10 of the law? Hopefully that would not be the case with Miss Evangeline's farm.